Yes, it's the week. I had thought that I wouldn't be able to broadcast to you this evening, but thanks to our friends at Radio Spice, I am able to do so, and I hope it's all coming across loud and clear. Thanks to everyone who's made that technically possible, because I really didn't want to miss out on this show, because the events that are unrolling across the Arab Middle East are events in which I have had a vital interest for 35 years. In other words, the great majority of my adult life. I have been waiting for these dictatorships to fall, and one after the other, it appears they are falling. First Tunisia, then Egypt, now Libya. Now, somebody said to me in the hotel breakfast room this morning here in Dubai, well, your friend's getting a hard time in Libya. I asked him just exactly what he meant by that, and it seems that he'd confused his Arab dictators. Either that, or he confused me with Tony Blair, who is, of course, Gaddafi's new best friend. Over the last 4 or 5 years, Mr. Blair has been deeply involved in the whole Gaddafi-Libya story, as have other politicians who have befriended Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam, who has been notable on the television in Libya over the last couple of days, warning his fellow countrymen that he and his family would fight to the last drop of everyone else's blood, and probably including their own, in order to preserve their dictatorship, which for 42 years, that's not a misstatement, Gaddafi has been in power for 42 years. In that 42 years, Libya has harvested an undreamt of, unimaginable treasure of oil and gas. And with a population now of 6 million and 42 years ago, half that, every Libyan should be a multi-millionaire. Libya should look like Dubai. It should be arising from the desert, great towers to the prosperity of the country. But anyone who's ever been in Libya knows that the truth is far from that. Half of Libyans are poor, despite the fact they should all be multimillionaires. If you drive off the main drag in Tripoli, you come to streets where there aren't even streetlights and where there are huge potholes in the road, rather like Glasgow when I was there a week or two ago. The reality is it's impossible to walk around Libya without your jaw hanging open and you asking yourself, at least, where did all the money go? Well, of course, much of it was stolen by the Gaddafi family and clique around him. Corruption absolutely rampant and endemic. Other parts of the fortune were, of course, spent on harebrained schemes and divvied up, handed round various other dictators, usually in Africa, where Gaddafi wanted to be a big shot and where he used the country's oil and gas resources shamelessly in order to have himself promoted. The last time I looked, he was, in fact, the president of the African Union. Well, not for much longer, although he may have to seek asylum in one of his former African satrapies. Now, there are some people on the left who are foolishly clinging to the idea that Gaddafi is some kind of anti-imperialist, and that just because of the hypocrisy of Western governments towards this revolution compared, say, to the revolution next door in Egypt, that somehow people on the left have to take a more nuanced position. Well, they don't. They have to be clear. They're with the people against the dictator. And we are against the dictators everywhere. That's my point of view, but I want to hear yours. So you can call me on 08717-223-344. If you have a point of view which is different to mine, I would like to hear it. I'd also like your opinion on how David Cameron, Nick Clegg and William Hague have done in this crisis. It looks a bit more like carry on up the Khyber than efficient, firm government to me. The shambles of the British rescue mission the pathetic inability to organize an airlift or a sea lift in the way that, well, big successful countries like Bulgaria were able to do to get their nationals out is something that's attracting a great deal of criticism. Mr. Cameron couldn't be hands-on because he was touring the Middle East satrapies and former colonies with a phalanx of arms dealers in his wake. That was his response to this wave of revolution sweeping through the Arab Middle East. Let's get out there to the remaining dictatorships and offer to sell them some more guns. And then affect surprise when they use those guns against their own people in order to keep themselves in power so as to buy more guns for and from us. Tell me what you think of how the British government have handled all of this. And what do you think about the relations between Britain and the Gaddafi dictatorship? Did you know, for example, that the SAS and Sandhurst Military College have for the last 6 years been training Colonel Gaddafi's special forces? Yes, that's the very special forces now gunning down their own people in order, of course, to save the nation. Did you know that Gaddafi's policemen were being trained in British police colleges? Did you know that Mr. Blair, according to the son of Gaddafi, Saif al-Islam, graduate of the London School of Economics, bosom buddy of Nat Rothschild and Lord Mandelson, did you know that according to Saif al-Islam, Gaddafi, Mr. Blair is an advisor to the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund? According to Saif al-Islam, the son of the dictator, Mr. Blair has made many, I'm quoting, many visits to give advice to his father, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Tell me what you think about all of these things. Tell me what you think.